listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and welcome to the couch, as always, this time on Fridays. Nice to have you here. As always, we have a great show for you. One of your favorite subjects, listeners, relationships. How do we work out those troublesome relationships? How do we find the right person, cope with our past, work on the stuff inside, and just sort of get through things in life so we can be happy people? And what are some of the keys to being that way? What are some of the things we have to look out for in our lives in terms of people? Why do we fall in love? What are some of the most common misconceptions that women have about men and vice versa? Gee, that's a lot of questions we have. But hopefully we're going to get a lot of those answered today because we have an author who knows about it all, been there and done that. First of all, let me tell you, if you would like to call in and respond to my guest or myself, the number here is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. And or you can email me if you're shy, you don't want to get your voice on the air, Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. Let me know immediately if you'd like to ask a question for my guest today. And we'll go from there. How's that? Well, let's talk about this gentleman on the other line. He is truly what I would call a Renaissance man. No, really. Not very many folks have accomplished what he has. His name is Dr. Charles Rawlings, and he's a medical doctor of neurosurgery. I know. Among many other specialties, he's an attorney specializing in helping patients of medical malpractice through his legal work. He has gained a lot of knowledge. If you read his bio, which I'll tell you how to find out more information on him in a bit, Dr. Rawlings has gained particular insight into the world of human interaction and especially male-female relationships. And so today we're talking about his latest book. It's all about it. It's all about the real deal, folks. You're going to get the real deal today. No chocolate-coated, covered phony stuff. This is really what's going on. And Charles is not only a knowledgeable person, but he's also had a lot of experience too. So the book is called It Really Is That Complicated. And of course, he's talking about relationships. And Dr. Charles Rawlings, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you, Dr. Michelle. It's a pleasure to be here.
Wow. Listen, I really enjoyed reading your book. Went quickly because I wanted to hear about the next adventure and personality profile you were talking about. So
I'm glad you enjoyed it. It was meant to be read quickly.
Yeah. Well, it's good. That's the best kind, I guess. What are some of the important events that you can share with listeners or experiences in your life that really, you know, stirred you up, that really inspired you to write this book?
That's a good question. Probably one of the first things was the divorce. I was married for 18 years and had three lovely kids.
Yeah.
And the divorce sort of opened my eyes in terms of some of the relationships.
Yeah.
And then as I got further down into, I guess, the dating scene or the dating milieu, so to speak,
right.
I was noticing that relationships really are complicated.
Yeah.
And so it was the divorce, the dating experiences. And then I started discussing it with a lot of my female friends, and they're like looking at me just wide-eyed, and they're like, well, yeah, it totally is complicated. And instead of talking about it, why don't you go write about it? You've got some interesting insights. And once I started letting go of any of the fears of the filters that I have, and I talk about that in the book, then I was able to start writing. And it was a very interesting experience writing about the relationships.
Yes, I bet. Well, you know, sort of a therapeutic thing for you too, Dr. Rawlings. You could just sort of get it out there and share with the world what you've seen, your knowledge and your experiences. So,
I would tend to agree with it. From a therapeutic standpoint, I mean, I know myself pretty well, and at this point, I have very little fear about anything. But from a writing standpoint, being able to express what you're thinking and feeling with pen and paper is certainly therapeutic, or it can be looked at such.
Yeah. Well, I know this is a huge loaded question, but let's just go for it, shall we?
Sure.
why do you think it's so difficult for men and women to find special loving relationships?
That is a quote, as you say, very loaded question.
Yeah.
But I think the answer really boils down to a couple of key issues.
Mm-hmm.
One is communication problems.
Yep.
Men and women, or any human being in a relationship, it doesn't have to be men and women, it can be men and men and women and women, have problems communicating.
Yeah.
They have problems accepting other people. They are not tolerant many times. And that's partly due to them bringing their past experiences, seeing the world through their own filters, and also fear of failing, fear of rejection, fear of being hurt, fear of commitment, any of the fears.
Mm-hmm.
And it all boils down to communication and acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Boy, does that make a lot of sense. You know, I always tell a lot of clients who come to see me who are thinking about getting involved in a serious relationship, or they have someone and they're still doubting themselves, I always say, try to take care of yourself first and sort of get your head wrapped around what your issues are, so you don't project that stuff from wherever, your family, early upbringings, messages you received that are negative about yourself, and don't project that onto your partner. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, absolutely. You had just stumbled onto a big thing. It's like they weren't sure of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, be sure of yourself. Just, you know, drop all the baggage you have and be bold.
Yeah.
Be daring.
So true. And not easy to say, though, when we fall in love when we're quite young, or what we think is love. We're infatuated or whatever. We want to have great sexual relationships and date a lot of different people and meet a lot of people. But, you know, we're not quite together, because that's our nature. It's to mate. It's to find a mate or not. But,
or not.
Yeah, and we're quite young. You know, it's our biological propensity to procreate the species. So we want to get out there and just find a mate. But most of the time we have so much stuff going on within us that we can't quite get it right for quite a while, huh?
If ever.
Well said. Yeah. Well, so, you know, we have to work on things. And there's communication, as you mentioned, accepting other people for who they are. You know, I always say to people they have to make the deal breaker list before, and the I can't change anyone else pledge.
Absolutely. I mean, the deal breaker list is really a list that you have to come up with. And many people don't know. I mean, I would say most people don't know what the deal breaker list is for them, especially men. Women are much more, I would say, in tune with themselves and recognize what will work for them and what won't.
Mm-hmm.
Most men aren't that evolved, and they can't sit down. If you ask them, if you ask them to do a deal breaker list, they couldn't sit down and list 10 factors that would be a deal breaker or a contraindication or a relative contraindication to dating someone. All they'd say is, well, long blonde hair doesn't turn me on, and anyone under 5'3".
Like, right. Hey, you know what? Charles, that's you visual men going on there, right? Isn't that what's
Absolutely. Men are visual.
Yeah.
Or at least most people, most men are. And if you look at their brains, male and female are wired differently.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I mean, we're not talking qualitatively.
Right.
From a judgment standpoint, it's just different. Women process information from an emotional standpoint differently than men do. And most men are visual. There's no question about that.
They sure are. And by the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio. And my special guest today, Dr. Charles Rawlings. He is a medical doctor of neurosurgery, an attorney, and on the Renaissance man, of course. His latest book is it. Let me say that again. Rewind, Michelle. It really is that complicated. And he's talking about relationships. And it is. And he does lay it out in his book. It's an easy, really interesting read, though. Keeps moving quite along. It clips along, and it's quite interesting about the way we, as women, think, and men as well. So to help women out, we were just talking about, being visual, which many men are. Can you help some of the listeners out there, some of the women? What are some of the observations and some of the information you can give to female listeners to help them understand the behaviors and thinking of many men? What is it with you guys?
men are actually fairly simple creatures.
Mm-hmm.
They're very visual. They want to be needed. They want to be fixers. Now, and I'm talking mainly alpha males. I mean, there's certainly beta males out there, or even, uncategorized males that don't necessarily fit into these characteristics. But I'm talking about just the usual alpha male that someone's going to go out and think about meeting and dating.
Yes.
They want to be needed. They want to be fixed. They want to try. If they're in a relationship, they want to try and help you. And what's the funniest thing one of the big differences and the funniest things I see, even with my friends who are supposedly evolved, is when women come in and they just start talking. And they'll talk and they'll talk and they'll talk and they'll tell, things that suck and what pisses them off.
Ooh.
And each time they hit a subject, the males are going, okay, well, let me see. Can I fix that? Can I fix that? Can I fix that? How are we going to do this? And by the end of the conversation, the male is so twisted up that he's not paying much attention. And the woman is just like totally frustrated, like, you're not even listening to me. And all I wanted to do was vent. You don't need to go out and spend your entire weekend fixing my problem.
Right. But God bless you. I think that's a really huge, huge thing that a lot of women need to understand. And men, too. But, men will try to fix it. So they'll stop you in your tracks and say, well, why don't you do this? Or maybe we can try this.
In fact, it happened to me just the other day.
Uh-oh.
Even me, who knows this,
yes.
I'm texting with this woman that I am somewhat in a relationship with,
mm-hmm.
and she lists all these things
Uh-oh.
In the text, like what's worrying her that day,
Uh-oh.
Her stressors, and this. And I text back, and I'm like, well, we can do this, we can do that, we can do that, and we can do that. And she texts me back, and she goes, I just wanted you to listen. I can fix it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my God, I just did exactly what I'm talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
here are the solutions.
Yeah.
And you just start laughing. Because a lot of males, once they give you a solution, once they give the female a solution, they're going to feel, I guess, unappreciated
mm-hmm.
or stupid or even worse.
Right.
If the female doesn't do exactly what they say. It's like,
right.
Well, why the hell, why'd you tell me if you didn't want me to do something about it?
Exactly. Don't you think that's sort of a turnoff to a lot of men as well? Someone who is always, like, complaining, and they hate their life, and they're always tired, and they're this. Isn't that why men, and listen, ladies, I'm not getting down on you right now. Really, I promise, I'm not. But isn't that why a lot of men tune out? Because they've learned that despite what they share with a woman to try to help her, it's not going to help, or she's not going to follow through because all she needs to do is really, like you said, vent. But they start to tune out after a while, don't they?
Yeah, most of them do, just especially if it's repetitive or if there is an easy solution.
And
not necessarily from their suggestion, but, you know, if there's some common solution, like, you know, if you're worried about finances all the time, you know, stop spending or you know, save more or do or figure out what inside of you will make you more secure with your finances. And I just use that as an example. I mean, that can be anywhere from being tired to, you know, not exercising to gaining weight or losing weight or whatever, you know, the common things that women and men complain about.
Sure. Exactly. Well, let's talk about a lot of the observations that you share in your book about women.
Okay.
In your book, it really is that complicated. You talk about a lot of women saying they want what they can't have. A lot of women
Absolutely.
Want
Absolutely.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, I knew that was going to come up. What happens is, and it can be seen, and you would recognize this, you know, from your work, where someone who can get something easily doesn't want it, or once they have it, you know, and I use "have it" in sort of quotations, they don't value it,
right.
And so the person who is out there, who isn't easily reached, who isn't easily committed, who isn't easily, whose shell isn't easily broken or opened up, that presents a challenge.
Yeah.
And that's what women want. They may have in their head that they want this nice guy to settle down with, fix all their problems, blah, blah, blah. No, that's not what they want in real life.
Uh-oh.
They want the chase.
Oh, don't men want the chase too?
Yeah, well, I'm not saying that men don't, but see, men are a little bit more logical and less emotional. They may not have, you know, a list of deal breakers, but they do know that there's a cost-benefit analysis. And I talk about this in the book, where they settle down and they figure out, you know, if this is what I really want, then I may have to give up these other things, and is this particular person or this particular situation worth it? And they'll sit down and be very logical and figure it out and say, either she's worth it or she's not worth it.
Yeah.
And then once they do that, few have buyer's remorse. Let's put it that way.
Yes. Well, that's good. That's a good thing. Yeah, and this chase thing, I think it's fascinating to me when I have young, very attractive, intelligent women coming in to see me in my practice. And I look at him and I say, what is it with you and the bad boys? Would you stop chasing the bad boys? You're not going to get, ooh, but it's sexy. Ooh, but I like it. It's like, what do you want? Do you want stability? Do you want someone who's open, you know, emotionally? Do you want, but the guys you're describing to me, you're not going to get that. These guys are bad boys and they're hot and they know it.
Absolutely. So, it doesn't even necessarily take, quote, a hot guy to play the same game.
It's
interesting. I post stuff on my Facebook and my publicist does and other things. And you would be amazed at some of the comments that I get from the women on Facebook that say the exact same thing. Just like, these are what intrigue me. And you just keep going after them. And I've been in 6 or 7 or 8, 14 bad relationships, and I just can't seem to learn. And it's the same tape playing in their mind over and over again.
Yeah. Okay, let's get down to it here. By the way, in case you just tuned in on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest is Dr. Charles Rawlings, a medical doctor and also an attorney. His latest book is entitled, It Really Is That Complicated. He's talking about relationships. And it really is. But he's trying to sort things out and describe situations and experiences that he has had and also gotten feedback from a lot of men and women throughout his travels in life. Charles, you have a chapter which is entitled, All Women Are Prostitutes. Okay.
I knew that was coming too. Yes, indeed.
Do not tune out. Put your volume up, women. This is good. because it's not, Charles is not a bad person. He's really not, I promise. What does that mean? Women are all prostitutes.
That most of their choices are driven financially. And you can be a prostitute, and it has nothing to do with sex. You can, and it's a barter sort of system. And they can withhold things until, and men occasionally will do it as well once they figure it out and become somewhat attuned and Machiavellian. Mm-hmm. But the women realize they have what many men want, and therefore they see themselves as a commodity. And their attributes are commodity type, and thus they parlay them into financial security.
Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense. It's the age-old survival mechanism. Since the beginning of man and woman, the young, hot women will get the men with the biggest spears.
Absolutely.
The ones who bring back the catch of the day. And, of course, they'll be able to, take care of their children and supply them with a lot of food. And they don't probably have to pick as many berries as the other women. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. In fact, this was driven home to me, and it sort of was brought to a point by a friend of mine who would label herself as a courtesan.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about this, and she's supported by, I don't know, two or three men,
mm-hmm.
and very, very well supported. And she's like, what is the difference in a wife and me, besides the fact that I am uninhibited, I am totally tuned into the male's needs when I'm with them, and I get supported.
Hmm.
It's the same thing with the wife.
Hmm.
The wife is supported by the male, or at least, you know, in the family unit. I'm not saying that, you know, the women who work, I respect that as well, and I obviously honor them. But, you know, that's just part of the income. The male is usually working as well, and they're being supported. And her point is, what's the difference in being a courtesan and being a wife, except the fact that there's all this baggage that is not there 24/7 when you're in the house?
Well, that's right. That's why the men turn to them as well, of course. So what do you say to her?
To her, you've got a point. That's the chapter. All women are prostitutes.
Yeah. Well, little disclaimer here. Dr. Michelle does not necessarily condone the beliefs and writings of Dr. Charles Rawlings in his latest book. It really is that complicated.
I love it.
I get that whole thing. I so do. And I'm going to get a lot of hate mail. So I'm just saying.
I understand that. So do I.
Yeah.
So.
But here's the deal. And you've heard the argument, and I won't go there as much because it is mundane. You've heard the argument. But come on now. Come on. I have a lot of friends, professional women, bringing up the kids, working, contributing. Yeah, they have package, but they're the wives, you know, and they're trying to keep up their looks, and they're working hard, and they're doing all this, and there is baggage, but, you know, they don't consider themselves prostitutes. They're a lot of professional friends I have. They're living la vida loca as well, you know. They're doing it. So
sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, my point would be, they may not consider themselves that, but from a time-honored bartering system, that's what they're doing.
Hmm. And what about the men who go for women who have money? I see a lot of that going on, too. Little older women, you know, who swear to me they don't want to be a nurse or a purse. But you know what? They're going for it. They're taking in a lot of these hot young men who they can escort around town, and who will escort them, rather, but they can show off. And, you know, it's much more of a rare situation, of course. But, yeah, that happens as well. So what would you call these men, sort of? I don't know. They married to these women? Prostitutes?
I'm a very very alpha male, and
okay.
I see it as the male's role to support the female.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would tell these guys to go get a job.
Okay. Okay, that's, there you go. To all of the women I'm seeing right now who are supporting these younger people and think they're hot and fun to take around. Just say, go get a job. See how quickly they stay with you.
Exactly.
Right? Oh, dear. All right, so let's talk about love. Let's talk about the big L word, okay? What are some of the characteristics or personality styles that you think make men fall in love with women?
Wow, okay. That's a very interesting question because it can be approached from so many angles. Probably the first angle is looks, like we were talking about earlier, the deal-breaking list. Men generally have a deal-breaking list for looks, and the woman has to fit in that category or something similar so that they're attracted to them, men being the visual creatures they are. But then you look down even, you know, one or two more layers below the looks, it's like, okay, why is the male attracted to those particular looks?
Mm-hmm.
And once you get into that, then you start seeing some of the baggage and the imprinting that the male has undergone as a child or even as a teenager or a young adult.
Right.
And that's what triggers these type of emotions.
Hmm.
Then when you get down even further in the levels of their psyche, falling in love fulfills some need for them, whether it's their mother figure, it's some earlier imprinting object, whatever it is. I mean, and if you take it to the extreme, instead of imprinting on a particular type of woman, they'll imprint on a, as you well know, an object. And that's where you get into the fetish world.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, that is, yeah. And then we have to try to, if that really disturbs them and gets in the way of their life and relationship life, then we have to use behavioral tools to sort of decondition them to
whatever that thing is. But, I mean, that's in an extreme. Instead of being able to fall in love with whatever imprinted woman and behavior and characteristics that they have, they quote, fall in love with this object, be it heels or latex or whatever the case may be.
And then,
that's one extreme example. So,
yeah.
And it takes an evolved male to be able to look through these layers and go, you know, just because this woman's doesn't have brunette hair or isn't 5'10 or doesn't behave like this, she still has all these qualities that I really am looking for. Maybe I should give this a chance. But then you take it even further and you look at it from a psychopharmaceutical standpoint or a brain chemistry standpoint.
Here we go.
It's serotonin, and that's all it is. And once you trigger the serotonin rush in a male, you have 18 months to lock it down.
And we're talking about maybe that's a good advertisement for antidepressants. Wow. You want to fall in love? Zoloft.com. You know, I mean, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah, interesting too. You know, when you sort of bring that out because you are obvious. You are a neurosurgeon. You've been trained. You know about brain functions and chemistry and all that stuff. And I see that when I do meet with clients who are on, you know, SNRIs or SSRIs or whatever, the serotonin reuptake inhibitors and norepinephrine and all that, what we look at is what their functioning has been when those levels are quite low. And there's not much love going on. You're right. There's not a lot of warm fuzzies and, you know, love potions. So that's a good business, is serotonin. Let's get the serotonin cooking. And you
sure,
say,
as a neurosurgeon, you know, I've done functional neurosurgery, and that's, I can put a probe and stimulate certain areas of the brain where these people won't eat, sleep, or drink because they'll just keep pushing the button on the stimulator. And, you know, there's a classic rat experiment for that, and it's increasing serotonin, and it's the pleasure center.
Exactly. Wow. Cool stuff. What about women? Of course, we all have the same thing. Women's pleasure center is stimulated. We have serotonin, and So it works in the same fashion, right?
Oh, absolutely, sure.
Yeah.
Like I said, women are wired somewhat differently, so they react a little bit differently to the serotonin levels. Mm-hmm. That gives them more of a sense of security. It's not the rush of the uninhibited male, you know, who will fall in love with a stone, mm-hmm. but it's more of the security blanket, you know, well-being, feeling, that sort of stuff for women. Mm-hmm. And that's actually that oxytocin and serotonin, if you really want to get specific, need to be triggered even before a woman feels comfortable enough to have an orgasm.
Wow.
They have to get secure.
Yeah, it's really true. That's that, and that's a different thing. We just got an email, by the way, on DocMichelle@AOL.com. Maybe she's a little embarrassed to call in. At 323-203-0815. It's from Alyssa, and she said, Charles. Ooh, how rude. She didn't even call you Dr. Rawlings. I can't believe you said all women are prostitutes. You are so wrong, and I'm insulted. She said, I'm a hardworking attorney, and I supported my husband who had spinal surgeries for several years. I've also raised two children. I think I am not a prostitute, but a warrior. Ooh, I like that. Good for you, girl.
That's yeah, good for her. I wouldn't
yeah.
argue that.
Okay.
Absolutely. So why did she support the guy with spinal surgeries?
Yeah.
Yeah. What made her feel that it was necessary for her to support him?
Well, I guess she's married to him. You know,
so?
We all have to support our husbands. I mean, you know, if we love them, the job is to support them emotionally, and if we can financially, if they're down, that's the whole deal. See? That's the healthy relationship. It's a give and a take, right?
Sure. Well, I wonder what their sexual life was like.
Oh, well, that's not happening when you have severe spinal surgery, Mr. Medical Surgeon.
Well, that's my point.
And that's not our business now. Is that our business? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, she's touting her wonderful relationship with mm-hmm. supporting her husband.
Yeah.
Maybe that fulfilled some deep-rooted need in her is to support someone.
Good for her. I guess you're
yeah.
right. Oh, that's good. Well, you know, I mean, is sex everything, Dr. Rawlings? Is it? Is it? Come on now.
Oh, gosh, no.
Okay.
Absolutely not. Sex isn't even equated with love.
Okay. Of course not. It helps sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it certainly, in terms of a relationship, helps, but it's two totally different emotions.
Right.
Question.
Right.
They're more closely linked in women just because of the different limbic system reactions, but
mm-hmm.
it's definitely not the same.
Yeah, it is definitely not the same. So so sex is just, but I think, don't you believe that more women, as you touch on in your book, become more emotionally involved and expect more from men who they have sex with for the most part?
I think for the most part, absolutely,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And I think that's a good thing. I think men should take a cue from women and become more emotionally involved during sex. The
mm-hmm.
problem, though, with men is their physiology.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't have to be involved to have an orgasm or have, you know,
yeah.
I mean, not at all. And it's just their physiology. I mean, what did I put in the book? 57 strokes,
mm-hmm.
about 2.5 minutes, and that's mm-hmm. about what it takes for a male.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether it's a watermelon, a doll, or their wife.
Oh, dear. God, I'm depressed. I need some serotonin reuptake inhibitors right now. Jeez. By the way, in case you just tuned in, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio. My special guest is Dr. Charles Rawlings. He is a neurosurgeon, medical doctor, also a lawyer, and his latest book, It Really Is That Complicated. He's talking about relationships specifically and some of the problems we have. The thinking differences in men and women, we were just discussing how easy it is for men. So how do we help women understand the psyche of men? Let's just say, I'm just talking from experience with patients again. They come in. Nice looking for a good man. They're charmed by someone. It's not really a chase. Maybe it is a little bit. But then they're charmed, and then they enjoy some time with them, and then they make love to them or have sex. Let's just lay it out there. And then they're shocked when the men, as they say, hit them and quit them. Right? Then they're shot. And I'm not blaming the women by any means. I'm just saying that there's a lot of conniving dogs out there who really try to get women, you know, to think they're warm and fuzzy and wonderful, and they're manipulators, and then they're sort of done after a few times, and they move on. How can we help the women distinguish that kind of man?
They need to be able to open up and communicate with this guy or these guys and just get into the heart of it. And if they're astute and they don't have blinders on their eyes, then, or they're not just chasing them for the chase, then they'll be able to tell. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's, you know, first date, second date, third date, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely, if they communicate, get the guy to communicate, you know, the long, poignant silences at dinner do not bode well for a future in terms of the relationship. But once they interact, and also have the guy draw them in terms of being comfortable with the woman and needing her and her, you know, appreciating them, and discuss it. Talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, sit down and say, look, the last three relationships I was with, I went to bed with the guy on the third date and he disappeared on the fourth one.
Right.
What do you think of that?
Yeah. That's perfect.
Sit down and ask him.
Yeah. And if he has a shocked look on his face and starts moving his eyes up towards the ceiling back and forth, you know you're in trouble.
Exactly.
Just read the body language.
Just ask the guy. Go ask the dude.
Right. Exactly. There are so many other subjects that you touch on in your book. It really is that complicated, talking about relationships, Dr. Rawlings. But I want to just ask you a quick thing here, because I know we're going to have to roll it up for the CBS News pretty soon. But you talk about how couples can really make it work by things like enjoying each new day together. Positive. Love that. Look at the issues of trust and acceptance. And so can you sort of summarize how those things can help them improve their relationship and possibly offering some other suggestions?
Sure. In fact, that was part of the really fun part in writing the book.
Good.
is being optimistic about it all, because you know, there's definitely some strains of negativity through the book and even the title of the chapter, but it's not necessarily that bleak. If folks will sit down and take a quick look at themselves, or even an in-depth look at themselves. I think from a physical standpoint, you know, stop smoking, stop drinking, go get exercise, lose some weight, you know, and that all is, from a health-conscious standpoint, is beneficial from depression, boredom, you know, being more attractive and having more energy for your partner, that sort of stuff. Then you have to go and you have to basically start afresh. And that's part of, you know, waking up and seeing each day as something new and something to discover.
Yes.
But you've got to be able to get back and get rid of your filters, get rid of your baggage, and start trusting the person.
Yes.
Communicate with the person. And it's a partnership. You're in a partnership. You have each other's backs, and you don't disrespect the person ever in public.
Yes.
And, you know, discuss with them in private and talk about stuff. You know, if your sex life's not working, sit down and say, look, be honest, it's not working.
Yeah.
What can we do?
Right.
But the thing is, people have fears, like they are fearful of rejection, fearful of judgment, fearful of losing their partner. Get rid of those fears. Just sit down and be honest and say, what is it? What do you want me to do? Talk to me. And I think you have to learn yourself first, and then you have to have no fear.
That's a great answer, Dr. Rawlings. That's super. You know, we do have to lose a lot of our own insecurities and just keep it real with our partner. I mean, that's what it's all about. And not worrying about how they're going to perceive you as weak on both ends, men and women's feelings. But, just keep it real.
It's just like the example you gave just a second ago with the woman who sleeps with the guy after the third date and then they take off. It's like, you know, The reason she wouldn't confront the person that they're dating is she's fearful.
Yes.
She's fearful of losing them,
right.
Fearful of upsetting them, fearful of some societal repercussions. It's like, mm-hmm. No,
yeah.
Screw that.
Yeah.
Talk to the guy.
Exactly. I like that. And there will be some guys who you can't talk to. They get freaked out, and then there you go. You don't want to be with
and
that person.
And there you go. You don't need them.
Exactly.
It's like you can't talk to them.
Exactly. Well, you can learn so many more things from Dr. Rawlings' book. It's called, It Really Is That Complicated. Why can't I say that well, Charles? What's up with my mouth today? The book,
your serotonin is spiking.
Oh, goodness gracious. That's what's happening right there. I blame it on the serotonin. You know?
Absolutely.
That's a great one. The book is called It Really Is That Complicated. And it's written by author Charles Rawlings, of course, Renaissance man. He is a medical doctor of neurosurgery. He is an attorney, has helped so many people in his life. And he's helping you in this book, too, discover what's going on with relationships through his own personal journeys and meeting with people and, you know, observing behaviors. And you can learn more about what's going on with your relationship and your thought process and learn more about men, too, women. And vice versa as well. Where's the best way to get in touch with you?
Probably go to my website. It really is that complicatedbook.com. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or my personal one is charlesrawlings.com. And you can get me there. I'm on the book's on Facebook. Just It Really Is That Complicated on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And there are contact information with no problems there.
Beautiful. We're going to have that up on the website here on LA Talk Radio on the Dr. Michelle Couch website for you tomorrow with, of course, archived information, a little detail on the show. And, of course, all my shows are on iTunes and the TalkTube app as well. So you can listen and replay this and then go ahead and pick up the book if you want more information, folks. How's that? Dr. Rawlings, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a delight.
Oh, thank you as well. Great guest, and we'll keep in touch.
Yes, ma'am. Sounds good.
All right. Take good care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All righty. Okay, folks, again, if you have any questions or comments, you can email me at docmichelle@aol.com. Easy as that. Respond to the show, give some ideas, pick up the book, and you're good to go. As I always say, take care of yourself first, and then you will be great for others. That's the way it works in life. You've got to get yourself together so you don't project all that negative stuff, physically and mentally. All right, guys, have a wonderful week. I'll be back. And we're going to be talking about relationships again next week from a different point of view. How to help yourself. Take good care. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen. Bye-bye.
Got you on my mind again tonight. Seeing flashing rays of colored light. Come back here so I can